I'm Heather. I'm going to be exploring the next of our Beatitudes. So we're going to be looking at the beautiful attitude of peacemaking. Now, I'm a mother of three children, and I have to say that has not prepared me in any way to be a good peacemaker. So if you struggle with peace this morning, you've come to the right service. But before I begin this subject, I just want to share a very quick picture with you that I think God showed me while I was preparing this talk. So he showed me a picture of a well. It was kind of murky, full of green water. And in the bottom of the well was this fabulous gold coin. It was made of fine gold, it was carved, and it was in the bottom of this murky water. And I felt God say that, you know, we can often feel like that coin. We can feel like our circumstances are all wrong. We're in the wrong place. We've been discarded. Nobody can see us. And we don't feel terribly valued because other coins are taken care of. But God wants to say he knows our value and he has a plan to rescue us. He sent Jesus to rescue us from whatever depths we found ourselves in. And he has a plan to deploy our full value because he knows our worth. So I don't know if that's you. That might not be you. Maybe that was for me. But if it is, it would be lovely if we could pray for you just after communion. Okay, so I wonder if you've ever heard a child complain. Surely not. Or possibly you can remember whinging yourself. I don't know what you used to grumble about. But apparently, according to some research, children begin moaning at exactly 1 hour and 40 minutes into an extended car journey, which means that on our average drive to Glasgow, we have a further 5 hours of are we nearly there yet? Our in-car games and silly songs used to be thoroughly stretched, but fortunately, electronic diversions have now been invented. If you've been part of any family at all, which I'm guessing is probably all of us, you will know all about grumbling and you will have experienced the need for peacemaking. So this morning I'm going to look at what we mean by peacemaking. Then I'm going to share a really simple picture with you of what happens when it goes wrong. And I'm going to also share a life-changing truth. So you need to be paying attention at that point. Don't worry, I'll let you know when it's coming. And finally, I'm just going to end with our best hope to get better at this. So firstly, what do we mean? Well, like all the Beatitudes, peacemaking is one of God's characteristics. One of God's names is Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. And Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. Peace is part of God's identity. So what is a peacemaker exactly? Shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace used in this particular passage, it means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. So peacemakers could be translated whole makers. And shalom conveys this kind of picture of a whole circle of peace in every direction, in every relationship, in every context. Right, so I said I was going to share a really simple picture with you to help us understand why it goes wrong. There is my picture. I've worked quite hard at this. So maybe I need to put a couple of words around that. As you can see, the circle, if you imagine the circle represents us, we've got space in the middle and there's space out there. There we are. I thought that was really helpful. Inside the circle, we need to have peace. We can't be peacemakers out there if we don't have peace in here. And I wonder what's inside your circle. Is it peace or is it panic? Okay, I'd like to hit the pause button for a moment. I just want to say I'm not talking about panic attacks. If that's something you suffer with, panic attacks are extremely debilitating. They don't respond to reason. And we can pray for you for that. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the kind of quiet panic that we've got quite good at hiding. The kind of quiet panic that says, I'm not sure I'm really good enough. The kind of quiet panic that compares ourselves with other people and fears their opinions of us. And the trouble is that when we have panic in here, It usually comes from fear of what people think of us, and it makes us look inside ourselves. We probably don't have peacemaking out here if we're panicking in here. We probably have insincere relationships. Maybe we don't have genuine connection with people. Let me give you an example. I wonder if you have ever found yourself saying anything to keep the peace as you spoon more chocolate cake into your whinging toddler, or anything to keep the peace as you allow your teenage daughter to download that rather dubious app. Obviously, that wasn't me. Or anything to keep the peace as your boss pulls yet another late meeting. The problem is that keeping the peace is not genuine peace. It avoids conflict, but it sacrifices good, truth, and sometimes our very self. The other thing that happens when we have panic on the inside is that we can grumble against one another. I know that none of you would ever do that. But just like children, you know, we can be terribly competitive, which means we compare ourselves with other people. And just like children, we're desperate to be noticed, and we can grumble and complain when we're not. We save our best grumbling for the people who are not like us, don't we? Because we think they should be. But actually, you know, we don't want more people like us. We want people to be more like Jesus. We don't need recognition or glory or fairness even. We need Jesusness. The writer Jude in the Bible puts it like this. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. So anyway, there we have it. The picture of the circle. That's what it looks like when peace goes wrong. Panic on the inside, grumbling and insincere relationships out there. But God's economy is entirely different. God promises, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. So what do we want in our circle? Well, we want peace, don't we? And how do we get there? Okay, if you've already dozed off, this is the time to wake up. I want to share an astounding secret, a life-changing truth with you this morning. If we believe in Jesus, we are the children of God. We are the children of God. As John puts it, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. God created us, his love gift to us. You are in fact special because God made you that way. He knows about every little detail carved on that golden coin that I saw, and he knows that all the craftsmen in the world could never make another one like you. And he wants you to enjoy that. He wants you to let him deploy you in exactly the way he intended. I wonder if you can feel the peace yet. Now let's just take a few seconds just to let him soak away that panic with his love. Can you feel it? Okay, Rag and Bone Man puts it like this. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. I know that some of you are not going to be able to resist humming that to yourselves. Have a little hum. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. Yes, we are only human, but we also have the divine fingerprints of God. Now, it's all about circles today. In this picture of a gold ring, you can see the hallmark. And my dad was a hallmarker for the Goldsmiths Company for nearly 40 years. So he was explaining to me what the marks mean. And the mark on that end, the letter, that's the date mark. You have a different letter for every year. The next one along tells you which assay office marked that piece. And that one means Birmingham, that anchor on its side. The numbers, that refers to how pure the metal is. The crown says it's gold. There are different symbols for different metals. But the one on this end, that's the maker's mark. That's the one we have. We have the maker's mark. The hallmark inside us says, child of God. That is who we are. We're created by him. We're made in his image. We are his treasured possession, the children of God. And unlike Rag and Bone Man, who wears his tattoos on the outside to demonstrate something of his identity, our identity is marked inside us, child of God. Okay, if we've somehow got hold of this astounding news that we are the children of God, uniquely created, we might just begin to have peace in our circle, not panic. And what we're aiming at out there is authentic relationships powered by peacemaking. Peacemaking is entirely different from peacekeeping. It might require us to wade into awkward situations in order to restore community or relationship. Peace relies on grace, humility, and godly wisdom. Or as James puts it in the Bible, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So this was the point in my talk when I realized I had to do something. I felt this kind of sharp elbow nudge from God. It was uncomfortable. So there's this other mummy in the playground. We'll call her Tabitha because that's not her name. And I'd sent her this message a few weeks ago, and I was quite pleased with the message, to be honest. I thought I'd got the balance exactly right. You know, I was understanding. I was setting a clear boundary. I thought I'd, you know, I felt smug, to be honest. Felt like I'd, you know, I was quite self-righteous. And then I realised from her radio silence that actually I'd probably got that wrong, and I needed to apologise. So God nudged me, and I had to ring her up, which is never ideal for an introvert. Peacemaking is not always comfortable. How can we be impartial and sincere peacemakers? Well, firstly, we need to remember it's not about us. Like well-disguised 15-year-olds, we think everything is about us, but it's actually about Jesus. Not moaning about our present situation, not grumbling about the behaviour of others. We need to be ready to be a reconciler and a mediator between others, to carry the best of both sides, to let go of the worst. Speak well of others in every situation, whoever we're talking to, trusting that they are being the best they can be with who they are. We need to believe the best about others' intentions and excuse the worst as we would wish them to do for us. Recognize a divine work in progress and trust the master craftsman with the outcome. Okay, I need to hit the pause button again here. I don't want to minimize your particular situation. It might well be that you've endured some really horrible behavior from somebody, and I'm not suggesting we excuse that in the name of peacemaking. On the contrary, sometimes peacemaking requires challenge, confrontation, or even the intervention of justice. But if that's something you're wrestling with at the moment, why don't you talk to someone you trust, pray with your Connect group leader, seek some wisdom in how to approach it. Don't rush off in the name of peacemaking and make war. And this little clue about when it would be good to engage in this, peacemaking is usually, not always, but usually about someone else's benefit. It's not about seeking justice for ourselves. So, we need peace on the inside. We need to remember the astounding secret that we are the children of God, accepted and loved by him, complete with the maker's mark, the divine thumbprint. Then we can engage in authentic relationships powered by peacemaking. So I've shown you my amazing circle picture. I've shared the life-changing truth that if we believe in Jesus, we're the children of God. And finally, what's our best hope to get better at this? We don't acquire beautiful attitudes by effort or accident. We develop them by hanging out with Jesus. It's not what we do with our talents. It's about who we are becoming as we are apprenticed to Jesus and we follow him because we want to be like him. We want more Jesusness. When I was young, I used to follow my brother around. I secretly adored him. I didn't pay much attention to what I was doing, just who I was following. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to listen to his music. I wanted to play his games. Don't worry, it didn't last into his heavy metal phase. And luckily, I realised pretty early on that he wasn't Jesus. Otherwise, things might not have gone so well. What I want to leave you with is that, like the coin in the well, you are precious and unique because you're a child of God. Even if you feel lost in the murky water, Jesus has a plan to rescue you and to give you life. And I'm just going to pray for us. If you'd like to close your eyes where you are. Father, you know the places where we feel a quiet panic. And we need to know that we are loved, we are cherished, we are valued, we are rescued. Would you come into our places of panic and bring us peace? If you don't know Jesus, perhaps you've never invited him into that inmost place. We'd like to invite him in. We invite you, Lord, to make your maker's mark on us. And finally, Lord, we just pray over our relationships where they seem to have got messed up, where there are places where we need to make peace. Would you show us how? Give us the strength and the wisdom and the grace. Amen. Water. And I felt that God say, you know, sometimes we can feel like that coin. We can feel like our circumstances are all wrong. We're in the wrong place. We've been ignored. Perhaps we've been thrown away even. But God knows our value, and he wants to say that he has a plan to rescue us, and he sent Jesus to come down into that place of murk and lift us out again. And God knows our value, and he wants to deploy us to our full value. So if that's you, if you feel a bit like that gold coin sometimes, perhaps in your circumstances, then we would love to pray with you. Okay, I wonder if you have ever heard a child complain. Surely not. I wonder if you can remember grumbling yourself about anything. What did you grumble about? Apparently, children start moaning at exactly 1 hour and 40 minutes into an extended car journey. I don't know how they know that. I'm sure it's sooner than that in our family. But that basically gives us a further 5 hours on our average journey to Glasgow to deal with the "are we nearly there yet?" Fortunately, electronic diversions have now been invented, so our in-car games and silly songs can take a bit of a rest. Now, if you've ever been part of any family at all, which I'm guessing is probably all of us here, you will know all about grumbling, and you will understand the need for peacemaking. So this morning I'm going to look at what we mean by peacemaking. And then I'm going to show you a really simple picture to explain what happens when it all goes wrong. I'm going to share an earth-shattering, life-changing truth with you. So you need to be paying attention at that point. I'll let you know when it's coming. And then we're just going to end with our best hope to get better at this. So firstly, what do we mean by peacemaking? Well, this beatitude, peacemaking, is one of God's characteristics. So one of the names of God is Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord our peace. And Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. It's part of God's identity. So what's a peacemaker exactly? Well, Shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace used in this context, means completeness, welfare, soundness, and peace. And shalom conveys this kind of whole, complete circle of peace. Peace in every direction, peace in every relationship. Right, so I said I was going to show you a really simple picture to help us understand why it goes wrong. I've worked really quite hard on this, so I hope this is going to help you. Here it is. So inside the circle, you can see there's some space. Outside the circle, there's some space. I thought that was quite good. If you imagine the circle represents us, then you can see we have space for peace inside and we have space for peace outside. And the clue is we need peace in here before we can be a peacemaker out there. I wonder what's inside your circle. Is it peace or is it panic? Now, I'm just hitting the pause button there. So I just want to say, I'm not talking about panic attacks, okay? If you're someone who suffers with panic attacks, I know they're very debilitating. They don't respond to reason. We can definitely pray for you after the service. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about this morning is that quiet panic that comes from, I'm not really sure I'm good enough, or I'm really a bit afraid of what they're thinking of me. That quiet panic that we've got used to hiding, it tells us we don't really measure up to the job. I'm wondering, is your urgency driven from a place of fear or panic? And the trouble is that panic in here is often, it often comes from what other people think of us, and it makes us look inward on ourselves. If we've got panic inside, we're probably not making peace. We've probably got a few insincere relationships without really genuine connection. And let me give you an example. I wonder if you've ever found yourself saying anything to keep the peace as you spoon more chocolate cake into your whining toddler, or anything to keep the peace as your preteen daughter pesters you for that slightly dubious app, or anything to keep the peace as your boss pulls yet another late night meeting out of the blue. The problem is that peace keeping is not the same as peacemaking. It's not a genuine peace at all. It avoids conflict, but it sacrifices good, truth, and sometimes our own selves. Now, the other thing that happens when we panic on the inside is that we can be a bit grumbly against one another. We can moan about our situation. You see, just like children, we can be terribly competitive, and we start to compare ourselves with other people. And just like children, we're desperate to be noticed, and we grumble and complain when we're not. And we save our best grumbling for those people who are not like us. I'm sure you don't do this. But you know, we think other people should be like us, and so we grumble about them when they're not. But actually, we don't want them to be more like us. We want them to be more. And that's our goal, really, isn't it? The goal for our own lives is that we are more like Jesus. Not that life's more fair, not that we avoid conflict, but that we are more like Jesus. The writer Jude in the Bible puts it like this: these people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires, they boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. So there we have it. That's the picture of the circle. That's what it looks like when peace goes wrong. Panic in here, grumbling, insincere relationships out there. But God's economy is entirely different. God promises, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace removed. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. So we want peace in here. Well, how does that happen? Okay, if you've already dozed off, this is the moment to wake up. I'm going to share this astounding, life-changing truth with you now, so pay attention. If we believe in Jesus, we are the children of God. We are the children of God. God created us. In John we read, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." You are, in fact, special, because God made you that way. He knows every little detail carved on that coin that I saw in the well. He knows that all the craftsmen in the world could never make another one like you. And he wants you to enjoy what he's made you to be as he deploys you to your full value. I wonder if you can feel the peace yet. Let's stop a moment and let God's love wash away that sense of panic. Just close your eyes and just feel that panic wash away. Can you feel it yet? So, Rag and Bone Man says, "I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me." I wonder if you know that song. I can't stop humming it. I'm really sorry. I'm not going to sing it to you now, though. Yes, we are only human, but we also have the divine fingerprints of our Creator. Now, it's all about circles today. And if you can see this picture of a gold ring, you can see the hallmark on the ring there. Now, my dad was a hallmarker for the Goldsmiths Company for nearly 40 years in London. And he explained to me what this means. So the letter on the far end there, that's the date letter. Every year has a different letter. And then they change the font. The anchor means that it was the Birmingham Assay Office that marked this particular ring. The number is the purity of the metal. So in this case, it's 22 carat. And the crown means it's gold, obviously. But the other mark, the HA on this end, that is the maker's mark. And that's the mark that we have, like the thumbprint of God. The hallmark on you, the hallmark on your life is child of God. We're created by him in his image, his treasured possession, the children of God. Okay, if you've somehow got hold of this, that we are the children of God, divinely created and uniquely valued, hopefully you're beginning to feel a little bit of peace in here. And then what we're aiming at out there is authentic relationships powered by peacemaking. And peacemaking is entirely different from peacekeeping. It may require us to wade into awkward situations in order to restore community or relationship, or simple right and wrong. Peacemaking relies on grace, humility, and godly wisdom. Or as James puts it in the Bible, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So I just got to this point in preparing my talk, and I knew there was something I had to do. I felt this kind of elbow from God. So, you see, there's this other playground mummy. We're going to call her Matilda because that's not her real name. And I'd sent her a message a few weeks ago. And to be honest, I thought it was quite a good message. You know, I'd got the balance between understanding and setting a clear boundary in this particular situation, which I won't go into. And, you know, I was feeling quite self-righteous and slightly smug. You know, I thought, you know, I'd done the right thing. But I could tell from her radio silence that I had got it wrong and I needed to apologise. And so I had to ring her up, which is never ideal for an introvert, and say that I was sorry. See, peacemaking is not always comfortable. How can we be impartial and sincere peacemakers? Well, firstly, we need to remember it's not about us. And like well-disguised 15-year-olds, we think that everything is about us, when actually it's about Jesus. Not moaning about our present situation or grumbling about the behaviour of others. We need to be ready to be a reconciler and a mediator between others, to carry the best to both sides and let go of the worst. To speak well of others in every situation, no matter who we're talking to, trusting that they are being the best they can be with who they are, believing the best about others' intentions, and excusing the worst as we would hope they would do for us. We need to recognise a divine work in progress and trust the master craftsman with the outcome. Okay, I'm going to hit the pause button again briefly here because I just want to say I don't want to minimise your situation. If you have experienced some really terrible behaviour at the hands of somebody else, you know, we're not just going to excuse that in the name of peacemaking. Quite the contrary, peacemaking sometimes requires challenge, confrontation, or even the intervention of justice. But if that's something you've been wrestling with, I suggest you maybe get together with your Connect group leader, you find someone you trust to pray with you. Don't rush in and try and make peace and end up making war. Okay, and just a clue, you know, sometimes to know whether or not to engage with peacemaking, it's usually, it's not always, but it's usually not about us. It's usually for the benefit of somebody else, not our own personal justice. So, we need to seek peace on the inside and remember the astounding secret that we are the children of God, complete with the Maker's mark, the divine thumbprint. And then we can engage in authentic relationships powered by peacemaking. So I've shown you my amazing circle picture. I hope you're going to remember that. I've shared that life-changing truth that we are the children of God. And finally, what is our best hope to get better at this? We don't acquire beautiful attitudes by effort or accident. We develop them by hanging out with Jesus. It's not about what we do with our talents. It's about who we're becoming as we follow Jesus, as we're an apprentice to him, because we want to be more like him, don't we? And when I was young, I used to follow my brother around. I secretly adored him. Yeah, that is in fact me. I didn't pay attention to what I was doing, as you can see. It was just about who I was following. I wanted to be like him, to play his games, to listen to his music. Luckily, it didn't last into his heavy metal phase. And fortunately, I realised that he wasn't Jesus fairly early on. Otherwise, things might not have gone so well. What I want to leave you with is that, like the coin in the well, you are precious and unique because you are a child of God. Even if you feel lost in that murky water, he has a plan to rescue you and fill you with peace, remind you of your identity. If you don't know this in your inmost being, maybe you have never invited Jesus into that place. It would be a good time to do that this morning. I'm just going to pray for us really briefly, but if you would like prayer at all, please come up after communion. There'll be a team of people who'd love to pray with you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to rest in your presence. We want to hang out with you. We want to know that we are children of God. We ask that you would come and bring your peace to wash away our panic. And Lord, if there are places where we need to make peace, would you give us wisdom? Would you give us grace and humility? In Jesus' name, amen.